Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord,
the Lord
with me.
His name together.
Together.
Come on and magnify the Lord with me.
The Lord with me.
His name
together.
Draw all men unto him. So therefore, today we
are here to lift up the great and mighty name of Jesus. For surely he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I don't know what your summation of Christ is this morning, but I want you to know he is the I am that I am. And I want you to know today that he does have all power in his hand. Today we are coming from the word of God. No, not from the red book, not from the best bookseller of the year, not from that novel or that magazine that you read on last week, but we are coming from the word of God that brings transition, the word of God that brings change, the word of God that will make the difference in your life. For the word of God say, whosoever will, let him come. So today we are coming to you with the word of God that you could come to Christ. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day that we get close and closer to the Almighty God. Well, this morning, we're going to be coming from the book of John that is found in the New Testament. And we're going to begin reading there at that first verse where it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the disciples, how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea, departed unto again unto Galilee, and he must need go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the demonstration of your word. We thank you, God, for the purification of your word. We thank you, Father, for the word of God that gives us clarity, the word of God that builds our faith, the word of God that will cause us to soar in the spirit, the word of God that will cause us to be bold and courageous. Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the hearers and the doers of your word. This we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For we see in the fourth chapter of John, we see that Jesus, it was a need for him to go to Samaria. It was a need for him to go. He wasn't just going, but it was a need for him to go. And the word of God said, it then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And then it tells us that now Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Yes, he came because it was a need for him to come. And then it tells us that it was a well that was there. And it tells us that Jesus had been on this journey, therefore he was weary, and therefore he had sat on this well. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it was a purpose. Oh, why he to the well. I believe that even though he was weary, he knew his destination. He knew that what it was about to happen and what needed to happen at in Samaria. Then the word of God tells us that there went a woman of Samaria, and this woman, she came to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. This woman came at different times. She came that a certain time that she would be able to draw water from that well. I believe that Jesus was there at that appointed time. Why? Because he knew that this woman was going to show up. He knew that this woman, what her daily occupation, that time that she would come, that when she needed water, she would come at a time when a whole lot of other people was not there. She came there because of the fact that this woman wanted to come when there was people or was not surrounding her because of she knew who she was. The word of God tells us that this woman, she was a Marian. She came to draw water. As Jesus asked her an important question, he asked her to give me to drink, to give me to drink. That was not an unreasonable request for Jesus to ask her to give him to drink. The word of God tells us in that 8th verse, it says, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. His disciple was not there. It wasn't for his disciples to be there at that time. Jesus wanted to be able to have a talk with this woman. He first asked her to give him. He said, give me some. Give me to drink. In other words, give me some of the water to drink. And then the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, she recognized him as being a Jew. You're a Jew, and you're asking drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews had no dealing with the Samaria. See, there was some complex situation there that they didn't, the Jews, they at a point, at a time, that they didn't interact with the Samaria for the things that they, their mindset, the things that they did, they did not want to interact with the Samaria. And this woman knew that by Jesus being a Jew, that in other words, you're not supposed to talk to me. You're not supposed to interact with me. Why are you, in other words, why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me for a drink of water? She was surprised that Jesus was talking to her, and not only that Jesus was asking her to give him a drink of water. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. In other words, you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who's before you. You don't know. You see me as a man, but I can give you more than what I'm asking you in order to give me. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. See, she didn't understand. See, Jesus was telling her that I can give you living water. But this woman, she was observant, but she knew that Jesus didn't have any bucket. And she didn't have anything to draw with. So how are you going to give me living water? How are you going to give me water? See, she was thinking in a corner. She wasn't thinking in the spirit, because you got to be in the spirit in order to think in the spirit. But she was in carnality. She didn't know the power of God. She didn't know the demonstration of God. She didn't know who she was speaking to. She didn't know what God had for her. She didn't know that God was there to make a difference in her life. So she observed that Jesus didn't have anything to draw any water with in order to give her anything. She said, from whence then hast thou living water? She was asking Jesus a question. She said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and its cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If you drink of the water, that's why you come back each time in order to refill, to be able to fill your bucket, and to be able to carry water into your home, to your house. But I want to give you more than that water that you're going to get today and that you're going to thirst again. See, that water is temporary. See, the water that we drink and consume, ladies and gentlemen, it is temporary. It is not permanent. It is to quench our thirst for a certain period of time. He was letting her know that what you're about to draw, what you're about to take back home, is only temporary. And what I have for you, it will cause you that you don't have to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Oh, God, give me this water. God, give me the water that's springing up in the innermost part of my soul and of my spirit, that I don't have to thirst anymore, that I don't have to be without the Holy Spirit, without you. God is letting her know that, hey, I want to give you something that, yes, I know that you're going to come to the well and you're going to draw water from this well in order to quench your thirst. But I want to give you that water. I want to give you that living water that's going to spring up unto everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, kill me this water. She got so interested. Oh, it got her attention. She wanted what Jesus was about to give her, but she yet did not understand. She thought that she was going to get some water, that she didn't have to come to the well and draw water any longer, because she came at a certain time because of a certain reason why she came, and you were going to see why she may have come, not bringing her friends, not bringing her associates, but she came because she didn't have that many friends except for the men that she hung around. But the word of God said, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I don't want to keep coming here and drawing the water and after taking the water back and forth. But no, Jesus wasn't talking about that water. He was talking about that living water, that same water that he wanted to give me, that same water that he wanted to give you, that same water that you don't have to thirst any longer. And here, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Go call her husband and then come back again. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. But thou have had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thy truth. You said right and correctly that you, when you said that you don't have any husband, but I know that you had five husbands. And the man that you now have, the man that you're living with, the man that you have in your life is not your husband. Jesus is letting her know, I know about you. I just met you. Yes, I'm a Jew, but I'm the Savior of the world. I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I know you from the inside as well as on the outside. I know the hairs on your head. I know when you cough. I know when you sneeze. I know how many times your heart is beating. I know where you're going. I know what you're thinking. And so, therefore, he's telling her that I know that you have had five husbands. And a person has had five husbands. This person is, can I just say this? This person that then had five husbands, people that had five husbands in their life, or five wives in their life, this person is looking for happiness. This person does not have the real peace on the inside. This person don't have joy on the inside. This person don't have Jesus, number one, in their life. They looking for love all in the wrong places, and they finding that nobody can satisfy me, and nobody can give me something that I'm missing. I'm missing stuff. Don't realize they're missing Christ in their life, but they don't realize that they're missing the living and the true God. They're missing that God can give them that living water, that water that they don't have to thirst again. And he let them know, oh, yes, I know that you have five husbands, and I know that the man that you now have is not your husband. Well, the woman said unto Jesus, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She began to tell him, she said, our father worship in this mountain. And he say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what we know, that we worship, but salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in the spirit and in the truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's why he was there that day that she could know truth. He was there that day that she could learn who he is and have communion with him and began to be know how to worship him, not in different places. When she began to talk about the, she knew that in that 21st verse, and it says, when Jesus said, ye worship, ye know not what. And we know that we worship for salvation of the Jews. But then Jesus said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper, I'm talking about a true worshiper, a true woman that worship God, a true man that worship God, a true boy and girl that worship God, they're going to have to learn. They're going to have to know. They're going to have to love God so that they can worship God in the spirit and in the truth. And I don't believe that we don't have a love of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we will be able to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our spirit. I don't believe that we're going to be able to worship him and praise him. I don't believe that we will be able to give admiration unto him unless we love him and unless we have him in our heart and in our spirit. And that is why I believe that Jesus was taking the time out to talk to this woman, because the word tells us that it was a need. Come on. He went there for this woman. He went there because by going and talking to this woman, there are going to be other people that's going to be made believers as well. The word of God says in the 24th verse of the 4th chapter of John, it says, God is a spirit. And And they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. The word of God says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Come on. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh. See, she know a lot. She in her own mind. You know, there's a lot of people that think they know a lot. I know. See, she's talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. She's talking to the most sovereign and the most, the God that's omnipotent. And she's talking to the God that has that's omnipresent. She's talking to the one that created her and created those mountains that she's talking about. Come on. Oh, she's talking, and she's talking to one that had given that well unto them, the well that they worship. Come on. But she didn't know him as being God the Father. Come on. So therefore, she began to tell Jesus, she's saying, because you know people like to talk, you know, because they think that they really know something when they don't really, really know. She said, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She didn't know that was he. That was him. The one that she talked about. That was standing before her. That was communicating to her. That was teaching her. That was inspiring her. And the word says, and upon this came the disciples. Then the disciples came and marveled that, come on, that Jesus talked with the woman. See, they marveled because they knew that the Jews and the Samaria didn't have any dealings with one another. So that let us know, ladies and gentlemen, that God was going to teach his disciples as well, that God was going to show them, although they walked with him. God don't have any respect of person. You know, like we have respect of person. God does not have respect of person. And he came, the word of God said, he came to seek and to save them that are lost. This woman was lost. This woman was unhappy. This woman was living in sin. This woman was going to man to man. She married them. And then she divorced them. She married them and she divorced them. She married them and she divorced them. She married them and then she divorced them. She married them and then she divorced them. And after she done went through that process, she got another one. Why? Why? It's because this one needs Jesus in her life. Somebody that's able to quench that thirst. Somebody that's able to give her life. Somebody that's able to sustain her. Somebody that's able to keep her. Come on. Somebody that's able to bring her out of darkness into this marvelous life. Somebody that's able to save a soul. So Jesus came because he knew all about this woman, just like he know all about us. He know our mindset. He know what we're thinking. Yes, he know the very hairs on our head, how many we have in our head, on our scalp. He knows that. The heartbeat, how many times it's beating, you know, the blood circulation in our vein, how many times it's going through. Come on. He knows what we're thinking. So the word of God let us know that the disciples, they marveled, you know, that Jesus was talking to this woman. But they didn't say anything, you know, they didn't say, why thou or why talking with her? I wouldn't have something, why are you talking to this woman? Oh, you know, that's a good question, you know, for us to kind of think about what they said. Because a lot of people want to know, why are you talking to that hooker? Why are you talking to that homemonger? Why are you talking to that drunker? Why are you talking to that fornicator? If we don't talk to them, how are these people going to get saved? If we don't talk to them, how are they going to be delivered? We got to tell them how you're going to communicate with them if you're going to walk away from them instead of telling them the truth. Because the word of God said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. We've got to tell us to be a junkie, tell us to be a fornicator, a whoremonger. He telling us to be a witness for the kingdom of God, because he said that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And if you are saved, you're one that is a labor that is going into the harvest. And you can't win a soul unless you let your light shine, unless you're communicating with that person. Disciples, they was wondering, why are you talking to this woman? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and said to the men, and she didn't go to the women. She was very familiar with the men. After all, she done had five of them and had one more. She said, come on, because Jesus touched her where she needed to be touched. He said something that caused her to leave her water pot, means by which she was getting water to be able to drink. She left the water pot, and she went into the city, and she told these men, she said, to come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. They came to Jesus. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Why? Because he knew that those people that she done went, she just immediately began to be evangelist and going out and tell these people, the people that she was, really she went to tell those that she knew that gonna listen to her. And she went and told them that I met a man that have told me, all the other men that I've met and I had dealings with, that he's unlike these other men. But I've met a man that have told me all the things that ever I have done. And she had a question, is not this the Christ? So they followed her. They went out. So in the meanwhile, the disciples want to give Jesus something to eat, but he let them know, hey, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Come on. And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say ye not that there are yet 4 months. It really touched my heart as I began to read these verses here. And as I read it to you, I hope it touched your heart as well, because Jesus saying, he said, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. But they are white already to harvest. There are souls out there that need to be harvested. Go into the harvest. They are ready. They are ready for you to come. They are ready for you to come and to speak unto them. They're ready, like I'm coming to the woman that has that is at the well. They are ready. He said, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and he that gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that same true old, one soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye store no labor. Other men labor, and you are entered into their labor. And then many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me ever I have done. Everything that I did, he told me all ever that I did. So when the Samaritans was coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 3. He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. But you know what? They believed enough to come and to find out what she was talking about. But when they got to Jesus, They believe what Jesus was saying. See, that's why we have to be a good witness for the kingdom of God. They said they believe not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I think somebody ought to say hallelujah. I think somebody ought to say praise the Lord. Oh, my God. What a wonderful blessing it is to know the living Savior, to know the Savior that is able to give us that living water. I mean, if you're saved, you're sanctified. I mean, sanctification is living a clean and a pure life. It's not the dress. It's not the style. It's not the hat. It's not the shoes. It's not the dress. It's your inside, the holiness on the inside. If you're holy on the inside, that holiness is going to be on the outside. And this woman, her life was changed. Her life was changed. And the people that she hung around, their life was changed because Jesus took the time to go to Samaria. Well, are you going to take the time to go into the hedges and the highways? Are you going to take the time to go to your neighbors and your friends? Are you going to take the time to talk to those that God sent to you, sent around you, to tell them about Jesus? Do you not know that the word of God says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? But the word of God says that but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's you, that's me, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They have no reason to perish once they hear the word. You know, once they hear Jesus Christ come into their life, Jesus comes in if they just let him in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Come on. And if you open the door, I'll come in. So therefore, all we got to do is to give them the word of God. He said, with thus happiness have I drawn you. So all God want to do is to come into our life. All God wanted to do is make a difference, like he did the woman that was at the well, a woman that needed some help, a woman that needed some love, a woman that needed to be loved. She needed some love. And God was able to give her the love, that everlasting love. Remember, God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's John 3:16. We want to thank the Lord today that you once again are tuning in to the Hour of Power broadcast. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and honor you once again for this broadcast. And Father, from state to state, city to city, God, we pray that the word of God will have free course. And the word of God that we preach here today, that it will make a significant change in the lives of your people. So your word says that the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people out there in sin and transgression. But their heart is ready to receive. And Father, we pray, God, that even now that you will save and that you will deliver and that you will make free. For your words say, if we confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, you said that we shall and they shall be saved. So Lord, we thank you today. We magnify your name. We lift your name up. We give you all praise and glory for all that you have done, all the souls that will be saved even after listening to this broadcast, all lives that will be changed. And God, we just want to say thank you once again for you being the true and the living God. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We are broadcasting live from the Bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out. Is